until we meet again, be on guard, moored or tied to Christ and His Word, and beware of the savage wolves who come in from the outside and perverse teaching from the inside. Be built up by the Word of God, looking for the eternal inheritance in heaven, and be an example of a giver and not a taker, a shepherd and not a charlatan. Be tender and loving to each other until we meet again, the marriage supper of the Lamb.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 20 with a message titled Paul's Farewell, Be on the Guard.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
I don't know if you've ever crossed a stream, a fast-moving stream, and you're getting your footing on stones that are slippery, but that's the idea of staying alert. Because there's those that'll come in, they'll want to sweep away people. They want to get them alone and sweep them away. And here are you. You're in such a mode where you're cautiously looking. You're not taking it easy. You're not looking at yourself, but you're looking out for the flock. And he said, I didn't cease to admonish you. You know, I constantly told you these things. I put sense in your heads. That's the idea of admonishment. Some people don't like to be told that they're wrong, but that's what admonishment is. It's putting sense into someone's head. It's caring enough to warn them and to bring them to that reality. And sometimes that means kind of a breaking down, a breaking down the pride. And he says, and now he pretty much is closing off. He says, now I commend you to the Lord and to His Word. So he's commending them. That's always good. I always love when Chuck would give his final, after his message, he would give, that kind of that prologue and speak to the people. Is commending the people to the Lord. And it means to place beside. Now he's taking them and placing them beside the Lord. He's setting them alongside. It describes anything deposited before a friend for safekeeping. Here, Paul is now putting them in the hands of the Lord for safekeeping because he's not going to be there any longer, entrusting them to the care of God and to the word of His grace. And it's only grace that our lives are changed. I can't change myself. You can't change yourself. You know, as much as we're taught the word and we hear the word of God, if we're not listening and if it's not God's grace and we're not saying, God, please change me. Here's a message. Here's something I hear that I need to hear and I need to change. Lord, You do that in me. You can't do it of yourself. I can't do it for you. No teacher can do it for you. It's only God's grace that'll do it. And that's what He's saying. That's what really... Notice it says, builds you up. That's what the Word of God does and the grace of the Word of God. You're changed now, who you are now, why? When you look back years ago, before you were saved. Why are you now the way you are and you're different than how you were before? It's the Word of God's grace. And you placing yourself in the hands of the Lord, in His grace. And He's doing that work in you. He's changing you. Oh, sometimes it hurts, I know. When He says that the Lord and the word of His grace is able to build you up, that's the term for an edifice. An edifice, a big structure. It's constructing or erecting. It's meaning giving a firm foundation that you're building up your spiritual life. That's what He's doing. that you what? Might have an inheritance? That's inheritance. That's the Lord himself. He's our inheritance. You know, the frosting on the cake is to go to heaven after we die, after we're finished here on earth. And that's just going to be great. But you see, his presence, face to face with him, holding on to him, being with him. Now we see through a glass dimly, but then face to face. Now he's given us a measure of the Holy Spirit, part of him in our life. That's how we're changed. And we love it so much to read the word and get off alone with him and just talk with the Lord. But you see, it's a glass dimly. It's not face to face. It's not permanent. It's kind of like being maybe talking with somebody on the phone. Oh, you can Skype them and see their face, but you're not really with them. You're not holding on to them, touching them. You could touch the screen. But you see, it's really the inheritance is the Lord himself. But not only the Lord himself, but all the eternal privileges that we will have in heaven. And when you read about heaven, when you look in the Old Testament, especially the book of Revelation, what heaven will be like, it'll be incredible. But more than anything, it'll be the Lord's presence himself. And so the inheritance, Colossians 3:24 says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, it is the Lord Jesus Christ whom you serve. 1 Peter 1:4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Some of our best times here on earth, they fade. And then sometimes we go into trial times. I remember a number of times, and I can look out through the years, I go, it can't get much better than this. And it was good because of what was going on. And then that faded and, you know, trials came. And then again, can't get much better than this. But you see, the inheritance we have in heaven, it's undefiled. It's imperishable. It's not going to fade away. And really, it can't get much better than this. But you know what? It just keeps getting better and better and better all throughout eternity. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love him. So we can't even imagine. And then it talks about among those who are sanctified. That's us. That's the church. That's who Paul's talking to. Those church, not just the leaders, but also the congregation that they're leading. And sanctified, I mean, it sounds like a real spiritual term that, you know, none of us can achieve. But sanctified simply means being set apart for God. Three phases of sanctification. One, the immediate, when we believe in Christ, we're set apart for God, set away from the world, set apart for God, we're going to heaven. And then there's the continual sanctification, or that change in our life throughout the years or the months of our Christian life and our Christian history. That's sanctification. And then finally in heaven, that complete sanctification when we will be like him because we will see him as he is. So immediately when we're saved, we're sanctified, we're set apart for God. Now we're being set apart for God as our lives are changing more into the image of Jesus Christ. You're changing. You're becoming more like Christ. And then finally, when we're in heaven with him, that complete sanctification where the devil, the enemy can't tempt us anymore, but we have that glorified body and we've been made perfect in heaven. And so he talks about being set apart. It's not just the set apart for God, but it's to be used of God. He's using us now. We've gone from sinners to saints, and he's using us. And that's that sanctification process now. Well, we go on 33 and to 35 here, back to Acts chapter 20. I have coveted, Paul says, no one silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my needs and to the men who were with me. In everything, verse 35, I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, we don't have that in Scripture. You can't find that in the Gospels, but obviously it was communicated by the Lord. And now Paul is writing it down. Remember when John said, if all the things Jesus had done and written were laid out, all the volumes of, you know, the earth couldn't hold them. So there's so many things. So that's one of the things you don't find in the gospel, but you do find with Paul laying it out. So he says, I've not coveted what you have. That's a strong word. And it's also a strong desire. In fact, the Bible says, thou shalt not covet. You see, Paul was with them for 3 years. And Paul didn't try to get from them, but he only sought to give to them. Paul wasn't a charlatan. Paul was a shepherd. And that's what he's exhorting these leaders to be. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, the New Living Translation says, you see, we are not like the many hucksters who preach for personal profit. We preach the word of God with sincerity and with Christ's authority, knowing that God is watching us. NIV says, unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. You see, Paul didn't try to use that vast number of people to try to get from them, but only to give to them. It's also worth noting that Paul could have, because the scripture says, Paul could have required support from the saints at Ephesus, but he refused. I mean, sometimes when you come into a situation, you don't want to give the impression that we want you here to get your money. Now, when you are mature and you grow in the Lord, you realize that what you have has been given by God, and then you're willing to support whatever ministry it is. But Paul refused that. In fact, when Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 12 on, he says, if others have a right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right, but we endured all things so that we will cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who perform sacred service eat of the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar? So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. Paul later goes on and says, don't muzzle the ox while it's threshing out the grain. God's not interested in the oxen, but he's talking about the minister. But Paul doesn't do that at first. I mean, some people are very sensitive to this, and I can understand that, because there's been too many charlatans in the church, and you have to watch out for that, and you don't want to be part of that. But you see, Paul, the minister, he was one who ministered. Just because you have the name minister doesn't mean you're ministering. Paul talks about him ministered to the people and ministered to himself and those that were with him. The term there is an under rower. Remember back in those Adramean ships, those old ships where they had all those oars, you might have like 40 oars out, and you'd even have stacked on top of each other, because there would be the oarsmen down below. And that's the idea. It's the under rower. That's what Paul says I am. And the under rower, those who would be rowing that ship when there's no breeze, they would be moving it to port or moving to its destination, and their eyes would be on that ship master or that commander. Row, row, row. And Paul is saying, you know, I'm the under rower and my eyes are on my commander, Jesus Christ. Paul's the example. He's the example. And it's often more caught than taught. Just look at the one ministering and catch from them what they're doing and how they're holding themselves and what they're saying and what their life is. But you see, with Paul, it was both. It was caught and it was taught. John 13, Jesus says in verse 15, I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. So Paul wasn't doing anything new. He was just following the example of Jesus Christ. And when Paul writes to Timothy, this young guy that was being under attack because he was so young and they didn't really, they didn't recognize his authority or what God was doing in his life, Paul writes to him, 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one look down on your youthfulness. But rather, he says, here's what you do. Be an example in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Show yourself an example of those who believe. So that's so important for those leaders, pastors in Ephesus, to be that example. So important for us today. Well, notice we end off here, verse 36 to 38. When we had said these things, when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all, and they began to weep aloud and embrace Paul and repeatedly kissed him, and grieving, verse 38, especially over the word which he had spoken, that they would not see his face again, and they were accompanying him to the ship. The tenderness of love, notice here, not often seen in our day and age. Our day and age, we're so prideful. You know, we don't want to shed a tear, especially a guy. You know, women do that, and often freely, and I appreciate that. My wife does that. I appreciate it. It breaks my heart. But I think it's biblical that the men do as well. Guys, we need to maybe loosen up a little bit. Remember when the prodigal went off, left his father's house, and then he comes back home, been in the pig slop and just, you know, wasted all the wealth and everything. He comes back and the father is waiting for him. And he doesn't know what kind of repentance, what kind of attitude the son has at this point. The son doesn't even say anything. But the father is waiting and looking for the son to come. And the son comes from a distance and the father looks and he goes, is that my son? Or is that one of the slaves? It's my son. And the Bible says that this father, denying all dignity, because it was not dignified for an older man to run in his robes, that father made a beeline for his son. And he ran toward his son. He threw his arms around his son. And the Bible tells us in verse 15, chapter 15 of Luke, verse 20, and so he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and his father ran, embracing him, and he kissed him. With all the pig slop on him, the dad didn't care. Coronavirus or not, you know, he didn't care. It was just his son, that love, that tenderness, that weeping, that embracing, that kissing him. The Bible says in the New Testament, greet one another with a holy kiss. It was a kiss on the cheek. In Hawaii, we have that tradition, don't we? Haven't you been kissed on the, just a greeting, a loving greeting in the Hawaiian culture? It's beautiful. Remember when Naomi was sending her two daughter-in-laws back home to their families because the two sons had died and she was going to go back to Jerusalem. And yet Ruth didn't want to go back. She wanted to stay with Naomi. But Ruth says in chapter 1, verse 9, may the Lord grant that you may find rest, and each in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. Kissing and weeping were so much part of that culture, and it's so much not part of our culture. The end here. They were grieving. They were grieving because they wouldn't see Paul's face anymore. It means torment. It means pain. It's deep, being deeply distressed. I think the last part of this could be entitled The Pain of Love. And I know Simon Garfunkel's song, I Am a Rock, probably should have brought that out. That would have been good for right here. But I touch no one and no one touches me. I'm a rock. But you see, the pain of love, to have such deep affection for someone and know that that love that you have will never again be realized, never again be satisfied by their presence, because you'll never see them again. That's heartbreaking when you love somebody so much, especially if there's a breach there. There could be a breach. Sometimes the outward stuff doesn't say what's really deep in the heart. And then if there's a breach and you never see them, that's love that's never satisfied, and that's really heartbreaking. But let me say this, which is maybe the good news. There will always be a glorious reunion, a meeting in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So even though they don't see Paul again when he leaves, they will see him in heaven. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep or those who have died in Christ, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep or who have died in the Lord. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." So even though Paul won't see them again, the comfort is he will see them again in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, this last portion that we taught, we can conclude this section by just the title, "Until We Meet Again." And so until we meet again, be on guard, moored or tied to Christ and his word. And beware of the savage wolves who come in from the outside and perverse teaching from the inside. Be built up by the word of God, looking for the eternal inheritance in heaven, and be an example of a giver and not a taker, a shepherd and not a charlatan. Be tender and loving to each other until we meet again, the marriage supper of the Lamb.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 20, titled Paul's Farewell, Be on the Guard. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
Blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 21. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.